like to welcome you all to our Lord's Day service, and we hope that the service is a blessing to you. Today is traditionally what we call Moravian Women's Sunday, and it's a day when we highlight the work of the women of our church, and today we are especially highlighting the life of Lucille Soans, who is very active in our Moravian Women's group. I hope that after the service, you will visit the table where we have some delightful pictures that the family has shared with us of Lucille's life. And afterwards, today is very special. We have fellowship indoors. Now, for those of you who are comfortable pulling off your mask and eating, we invite you to do that. For others, if you are not, we will be able to take some treats home, and we hope you will avail yourself to that. Our adventure this year will be indoors. This will be our first time in a few years that we will have an adventure on the first Saturday of December, and we have a sign-up sheet in the narthex if you can help with baking and other types of volunteer work. Please feel free to sign up for the adventure. And we need ushers for this month and next, so we hope that you will sign up for ushers, and that sign-up sheet is also in the narthex. It's a delight to welcome Cindy back, and she's going to lend her beautiful voice to our service today. We also have a choir piece. All the music today are Lucille Soane's favorites. And so that's why you will see some very interesting hymns in this service. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
Thank you.
our service, let us stand and turn to hymn number 239, the Hosanna. I will be leading the men in the first part. The men always sing the first part. The women sing the second. Cindy will be leading with that. And when we get to page 241, at the top you see two dots at the end of that row. That means that we go back to the beginning and sing it again until the very end. This was one of Sweeney Sohn's favorite. I found out it was not her husband's. I thought that was very interesting. So we hope to sing out our Moravian Hosanna.
Can affliction or hardship, can persecution, hunger, nakedness, peril, or sword?
No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us.
For we are convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come,
nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you.
If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are of the earth.
For we have died, and our lives are hid with Christ in God.
We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, it is for the Lord that we live. And if we die, it is for the Lord that we die.
So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For Christ died, rose from death, and lives again in order to be Lord of the living and of the dead.
We do not want you to be in any doubt about those who have died, or to grieve over them as others do who have no hope.
For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died.
What we are saying, brothers and sisters, is this: flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. What is sown is perishable.
It is raised imperishable.
What is sown in dishonor?
It is raised in glory.
What is sown in weakness?
It is raised in power.
What is sown a physical body?
It is raised a spiritual body.
Then the saying that is written will be fulfilled: death has been swallowed up by victory.
Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
When I asked for memories of Lucille Soames, Scotty told me something I didn't know. I knew that she was an avid golfer. Did you also know that she was part of a bowling league? And so every Sunday when she walked in the door, she had to ask Scotty about his bowling scores. Now I want to tell you about her funeral planning. Sweetie started this in 2008 when she was very young, only 87 years old. And she wrote to a man named Michael Brecky. Some of you may remember Michael. Michael was a pastor up here and also a very good friend and golfing buddy. And this is what Lucille wrote to him. This was February 5th, 2008. Dear Pastor Mike, last July I told you that I would be writing a letter to you. It has only taken 7 months to do so. Aren't you glad I am not that slow on the golf course? I am now 87 years old and time to get my house in order. Thank the good Lord that I am still in good health and have already purchased my golf season ticket for 2008. Someday, when I am called home by God, I would consider it an honor if you would speak at my funeral service. I've been a member of the Ephraim Church for over 60 years. We have not had a permanent minister at our church for over a year. When we finally do get one, you would still be welcome at our pulpit. Now, when I first met Sweeney in 2010, before saying hello and welcome to the church, she said, I already have my funeral plans in order. And Michael Brecky is taking care of that, just so you know. And then when he left the area to retire, she took it as personal affront and was doing one of these to him, that you have to be here. Well, I called Michael because I want to honor Sweeney and I don't want to be haunted. So I called and asked him if he could come, and he couldn't, but he shared some delightful stories that I'd like to read from Michael Brecky. He said, when I first met Lucille Soames, I was struck by her wonderful smile and her dancing eyes. She was, by all accounts, a real character. She had a quick wit and was always ready with a comeback to my sass. I have two wonderful memories to share with you. One day I drove by her house on my way to an errand when I saw her unloading things from her car. I pulled in the drive, stopped the car, and asked if she needed any help. She smiled and said that would be nice. I helped her with the groceries and we chatted for a moment or two, and then I told her I needed to be on my way. She asked if we could play golf again soon. I said I would try to find some time that she would let me know when she needed to fill a foursome. As I started back to my car, she said, Michael, you have a job, and you need to make sure you do your job and stop driving around the county looking for old ladies to help unload groceries. Then she flashed me one of her award-winning smiles, and the mischief in her eyes sparked and danced as she laughed. On another occasion, I was signed up to play with Sweeney and two of her friends in a charity event at Maxwellton Braids. I always enjoyed teaming up with her because she was a good golfer. Although our foursome wasn't one of the top groups, we had a great time together, lots of laughter coming from our merry band. I don't remember the hole. I'm pretty sure it was one of the longer par threes on the backside of the clubhouse. We all hit our drives, and Sweeney hit hers nearly on the green. The rest of her foursome was short or off to the right or left. We hit our second shots, and Sweeney stood next to the green, her putter in her hand. We all waited expectantly as she addressed the ball. She hit her putt, and although it was long, it snaked its way into the hole. It was a birdie, I think the only one of the day. We cheered. Sometimes I am possessed with spontaneous madness. We were all shouting and clapping, and I found myself running across the green and picked Sweeney up and swung her around in my arms as she shrieked and giggled, saying, Michael, put me down. We all laughed long and hard, Sweeney laughing the hardest of all. I don't think she ever really forgave me for that. I do know that she never forgot, because she would bring it up from time to time and chide me for being a bad boy. I will never forget her loving personality, her smile, her eyes, and her love of her family. But most of all, I will never forget swinging her around when she sank that incredible putt. And now one of her dearest friends, Gigi Pashke, will come and have some remembrances of Sweeney.
Well, let me tell you, that's a hard act to follow. I want to show you a picture today. Put it out on the table after. This picture just about tells it all. That is Sweeney, her great aunt Amelia, and I can stay away from that, and also Alberta Siler Kaminsky. They are on their hands and knees scrubbing the fellowship hall. Now, you know that Sweeney really was such a wonderful friend of mine. And I think of Winston Churchill, who once said, we make a living by what we do, but we make a life by what we give. Sweeney was indeed a very giving person to her family, many friends, and the Ephraim Moravian family. She was a member of the Caring Hands group in this church for many, many years. She was seated at the end of most rummage sale fall and spring tables, being cashier. And she was willing, when anybody would ask her, to bring a dish to pass. That was her famous broccoli salad. Now, any special events, Sweeney was there. 2 years ago, Sherry and Rob Moore stopped at Sweeney's house after an Easter service to bring her a plant. And there was another man with her. And after they left, she called me. And she said, "I got hot news for you." And I said, what hot news, pray, do you have? And she said, "I just met the assistant minister of our church." I said, "Really, what was his name?" And she said, "Reverend Iverson." Well, that man is sitting in our organ today. It was powerful. Well, Sweeney and I had a good laugh at that one for many, many a year. After we found out that it wasn't Reverend Iverson, we were happy to walk him out. And I did learn very early, when TV became available to everybody, there were programs on TV that many people liked, but I knew never to call Lucille Soames during Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, and especially Judge Judy. Now, Sweeney and I have been friends for over 65 years. We have golfed together, we have bowled together, we have traveled together. And we have laughed together, and we have cried together. Our last golf outing was at Sweetgrass in Harris, Michigan. The weather was beautiful, we played our rounds, and the skies opened up and it absolutely poured. We were drenched. So we went out to our room, it was a beautiful room on the fourth floor, and we looked out the window and there was a rainbow. Not your ordinary rainbow, but a beautiful double rainbow that we had never seen. And in closing, may I say to you, let us remember Sweeney as one who gave all of us joy, made us laugh, and showed us life. Enjoy every rainbow. Thank you.
Choir comes to sing Beautiful Savior. This was an anthem that was sung several times over the years, and every time it was sung, Sweeney would talk about how wonderful this anthem was, so we sing it in her honor today.
Thank you.
time of worship where we bring our praise reports and our prayer concerns, and afterwards we're going to be singing in the I Come to the Garden Alone a cappella. You'll have to follow me. For our praise report, we want to, we are so grateful to God for the safe arrival of Paul and Kay Wilson's new grandson, born yesterday morning. Wilson, Dean Nemechek, Mom Kristen, and baby are doing fine. We're so delighted to welcome new life. For our prayer concerns, we have many. We want to remember Eunice, who's in the hospital. We want to remember Chuck, who is down in Milwaukee undergoing treatments. Kathy is in the ICU. We want to remember Joyce, whose sister Evelyn died this week. We also want to remember a family member of Penny's, Alan, who is undergoing facial surgery after an explosion. We want to continue to uphold Barbara, Eric. Pastor Frank is undergoing surgery in the coming weeks. And Pastor Peggy from the Moravian Church is undergoing open heart surgery. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so grateful to be here, so grateful for the life of Sweeney Soane, so grateful for her witness, so grateful for her joyful faithfulness to our church family. We are so grateful for Wilson Dean. We're so grateful that he was brought into this world safely. And we ask that you would surround his family with your grace and with your joy. We bring before you all of those who are in need, all of those who are struggling physically, for Eunice and Chuck, Kathy, Alan, Barbara, Eric, Pastor Frank, and Pastor Peggy, that you would grant to them your healing mercy, that you would surround them with your strength. We ask that you would be with Joyce as she mourns the loss of her sister, that she might know your comfort. And for all of us here today, may we come away from this place in joy, in peace, ready to serve you. For we ask all of this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I come to the garden alone, where the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever
remembrances. Aunt Lucille was my role model for years, but that all went south when she was still golfing at 90, and so I forgot about that. But one of the things I wanted to tell you, she absolutely adored Beautiful Savior because it was arranged by almost part of her family, F. Melius Christensen. F. Melius and his family had a compound in Little Sister, which they still do, and their son Olaf and Jake also, and their families also live there. Lucille came here when she was 16 years old as Elsa Christensen's best friend. From then on, she came every year, and then she met my Uncle Glenn, and that was the end of that. But F. Melius had come to Ephraim. He was actually one of our first directors of our sing-alongs, right, Cece? Do you know that? Did you know that? Yes. Okay. He was at, he also was very active in Bethany Lutheran Church, as was Olaf. But that's why Lucille had such strong ties with the Christensen family. Another thing, and it's a bit of history because Gigi and Jody and I were all history buffs, and we've been digging around for years with the Iverson House and with Anders and Anna Pedersen. Do you know they were the third ministers to this Ephraim Moravian Church? And they came in 1884, and they lived in half of the Iverson home. And Anna's letters, it's a book that you may buy. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. But anyway, this was their first post. They came here literally on their honeymoon from Germany. And their very last post was Northfield, Minnesota. And that's where Anna died, and also, I believe, Anders. But Lucille told me a few years ago, we wanted to interview her at the foundation, and she was all ready for it, and then suddenly she got sick and she backed out. And I said, I'm so sorry. But she said, maybe you want to know. She said, Anders Pedersen baptized me. And she said, he confirmed my sister Ruth and gave her piano lessons. And I said, what? And it just absolutely boggled my mind, because here these wonderful people who had come in 1884, that's how deep Lucille's roots were in the Moravian Church in Northfield, Minnesota. So that's what I have to say about her. I love her dear. She was like my mother. Thanks. And now we shall have our scripture lessons. Our Old Testament scripture lesson is taken from the book of Job. Oh, that my words were written down. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and with lead they were engraved on a rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, thus in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my heart faints within me. Our New Testament lesson is taken from the Gospel according to Luke. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise the children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her. And so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her, Jesus said to them. Those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore, because they are like angels and children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. It is easy to know that our Redeemer lives when we are sitting in a lovely service surrounded by people of faith. It is easy to know our Redeemer lives when we've gotten a new job and things are going well. It is easy to know that our Redeemer lives when we have wonderful announcements of children being born. It is easy to know our Redeemer lives when things are going well. But what happens at 3 a.m. when we wake up and things are not well with our souls, and we experience that dark night of the soul? Is it easy then to know that our Redeemer lives? Or when we're sitting by the bedside of a loved one and we know that life is slipping away, is it easy to know then that our Redeemer lives? When Job started his journey, it was easy to know his Redeemer lived because he had a good life. He was a wealthy man. He was doing well. He was living large, and then everything slammed shut for that man. He lost his family. He saw tragedy. He lost his fortune, and then he lost his health. And at the time he says these wonderful words, "I know that my Redeemer lives," he was not living large. He was sitting on an ash heap. His body was covered in boils. He was scratching himself with some kind of implement. And he was surrounded. First, he was confronted by his wife, who was very bitter. And you can understand why she was bitter and angry, not with him, but with God. And she said, "Why don't you just put yourself out of your misery and curse God and die?" Because the thought was, if you curse God, lightning would come down. Well, we know that's not true, because there'd be a lot of dead bodies around in our world if people that curse God actually were killed. But she said, "Curse God and die." And he said, "No, I won't do that." And then he was surrounded by friends. And at first the friends were sympathetic, but their advice to him was, "Just say you're sorry, because you had to do something really bad for this to happen to you." I think they were afraid that if this was random, if it was just bad things happening to good people, that they could be next. So of course it had to be something he did. Blame the victim. And they spent hours trying to convince him that he had to do something wrong, because God would never do this to a good person. So Job, there must be something in your past that's now come to roost. And so Job, knowing that he had been a good person, knowing that he had not done anything wrong, was completely abandoned by wife and by these friends. And he felt he was abandoned by God as well. And within that torment, even though life was dreadful for him, somehow the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of him. And he said, "Yeah, things are horrible, but I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that somewhere there's an advocate. I know that there's someone on my side. And even if I don't see it in this life, I'm gonna see him." What faith that was. Do you know in the darkest times that your Redeemer lives? I think of the long life that Lucille Soans had. And in one hand, it was a blessing. I still remember seeing her at 90 in high-heeled boots. I must tell you, I was very jealous. I couldn't have worn them in my 20s without falling over. I remember how athletic she was and how beautiful she was. And so long life for her was wonderful to a point. But we all know that we get to a certain age and things start to go wrong with our bodies and our bodies betray us. I remember my mother saying when I teased her and said, well, you're old, she said, but it happened all of a sudden. Your bodies betray us. And of course, as she aged, especially past 100, her body started to betray her. And I would come to her bedside when she had her frequent hospitalizations. And we'd chat for a while, and she had a code for me. The minute she said, okay, Pastor, let us pray, that meant be quiet, pray, and get out of here. So I would pray, and I'd leave. And she usually let me natter on for about 15 minutes when that was enough. And okay, we're done, get out. The last time we had our chance to talk was about 2 or 3 days before her death. And I could see how worn out she was. And she was ready. And at one point, we had only talked a few minutes, and she said to me, I'm ready. And she put her hands over her chest. So she was telling me, stop talking, pray with me and get out. But there was another message there. I am ready to see my Redeemer. And as we prayed, I knew that there was going to be a great reunion very quickly. It's wonderful when we have a long and wonderful life and we see our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. Oh, that's so wonderful. And some of us will have the privilege and some of us will not. But whatever state we're in, do you know that your Redeemer lives? Lucille knew her Redeemer lived, and she looked forward to that day when she would step from this life to the next. Do you know who your Redeemer is? And when we see him in this life and all the joys that he gives us, and we see him in life everlasting. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful that especially in the hard times, we can be assured of your advocacy for us, that you stand with us even if all abandon us. Thank you for that promise. Amen. We continue to worship the Lord with a giving of our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
times, begin your week knowing that you are walking straight into the embrace of God. Amen. In the name of Jesus.